Word of God addresses every need, every situation that we face. If we want to be a better employee, I believe we find principles in God's Word that can help us do that. If we want to be a better family member, then I believe the Bible has much to say about that. It's in that light I'd like for us to consider some things this evening. Thomas Carlyle was a British writer and historian. In the early 1800s, he was one of the most important social critics of his day, a leading force in Victorian literature. In 1826, he married Jane Bailey Welsh. One writer suggested that it was good that those two got married, so there'd just be two miserable people instead of four. And that indicates that they had a very rough marriage, a very difficult one. And I believe I found part of the reason why. Thomas Carlyle loved Jane Welsh Carlyle very much, but he was a cross-grained, irritable creature. He never made life happy for her. She died unexpectedly, and after her death, Carlyle began to look through her papers, her notebooks, her journals, some of which included her thoughts about their marriage, her thoughts about him. Old scenes came mercilessly back to him in the memory of how he had treated her, how she had suffered through those childish irritabilities that he had manifested. He felt a lot of remorse about how he had treated her. And on one occasion he cried out, "Oh, if I could see her but once more, were it but for 5 minutes, to let her know that I always loved her through all that." She never knew it. Never. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them." I believe Thomas Carlyle gives us an example, regrettably, of the latter part of this passage. Do not be bitter toward your wives. And the concept is conveyed in the Greek language of a bitter taste in the mouth. And it means that you're upset and irritated, exasperated, indignant, and angry. And when we talk about a person being bitter, we usually think he's churning angrily inside over some past disappointment. The embittered husband can be harsh, cynical, or resentful. God's Word says, do not be bitter toward your wives. Well, to overcome the negative in this passage, I think we need to emphasize the positive. The first part, husbands, love your wives. So I want to share a word from God's Word about to husbands tonight. To present husbands, to those of us who may want to be husbands sometime, to those of us who may be working on our own husbands, to those of you who may have influence over some husbands and helping them be all that God wants us to be. When I sent this material to Chris for the PowerPoint, I said, my toes are already hurting. So, husbands, I'm right there with you. Ed, by the way, said, you didn't announce your topic this morning, did you? I said, no, I didn't. He said, you'd probably have even fewer husbands here tonight if you did. But I hope that it'll be helpful to us. Been working through a book that I saw I've been seeing it at Christian bookstores, and since I was preparing this lesson, thought I'd purchase it and work through it. It's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich. And I think it has some very helpful material, some of which I want to share with you this evening. How do husbands love their wives? How do we love our wives in ways that they perceive love? Here are a few ways. Husbands, love your wives with closeness. With closeness. This is inherent in God's original blueprint for marriage. He said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And this idea of cleaving in the Hebrew is to cling, to hold, to keep to keep close. I like to think of super glue that forms that tight bond, that closeness that must be present in marriage. Many women want this closeness, desire it greatly. They desire to connect. They even want face-to-face involvement. And so we're encouraged, husbands, if our wives feel this way, to sit and talk with her, to communicate, to ask her questions, to be sure to ask her about her day. And what she tends to look for is our desire to dwell with her. It lets her know how much we're interested. It is an expression of love for her. I use the term dwell because that's what 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Dwell with your wives. And the original there, looking it up, it means to live together. But it doesn't mean just under the same roof, but to be engaged, to have that closeness, even emotionally, not just physically. In Genesis 29, verse 34, this is a sad passage to me. It's written about Leah, the wife of Jacob. It says that she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was Levi." If you remember the context, Jacob had worked 7 years to marry Rachel. Well, Laban did the switcheroo and gave him Leah instead, the older of the two sisters. And when Jacob objected, he said, "Okay, you can have Rachel as well, but you got to work for me 7 more years. And just a few verses prior to this one, it says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. But God observed that. And the scripture says he opened her womb, enabled her to have children. And so God blessed Leah with children. And now her hopes are, as she expressed it in this passage, "Now that I've had three sons, surely my husband will become attached to me. Maybe he'll love me now. Maybe he'll relate to me, be close to me emotionally, relationally, as a loving husband should with his wife." I believe many wives desire this same closeness. And husbands need to be aware of that. Here's some practical ways to communicate love in this fashion. Your wife feels close to you when you are affectionate toward her. When you go for a walk or do anything that results in you being together and fully engaged, emotionally and intellectually as well. When you make it a priority to spend time with her. When you're aware of her as a person with a mind and opinions and are willing to discuss things with her and get her insights, that communicates this aspect of love. A second way, husbands, love your wives with openness. And this ties in well with the first one, with openness. Many women, Dr. Egerich describes, are expressive responsive. Meaning, here's my paraphrase, that she likes to, or many women like to, talk about things, talk about problems, put it out there in the open for discussion. And the problem with that is that many men are not expressive responsive. That we may not like to talk a lot, especially about problems. And our wives are puzzled by this, because she thinks about the dating years. She thinks about those dating years when both of us were so open and we seemed to talk about everything. Pardon the personal reference, but it's one that I'm more familiar with. I remember at Faulkner, when it must have been a lectureship or something, my dad came down for the lectureship, stayed in my room. and had a roommate. And when he was ready to go to bed, well, gave him my bed. And I took the phone into the bathroom because I wanted to talk to Patrice a while. And I think he was already asleep by the time I got through talking. And I remember him saying something along the lines the next day, "I don't see what you talk about so much." And it's that way when we're dating. We really open up, and what we probably realize is that communicates love in big letters, this openness. But something happens, and many husbands, when they get married, they lose this openness, and it frustrates our wives. And it's something that they long for, many long for. This openness in the dating years might be a lot like what we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 2. "I was asleep but dreaming. The one I love was at the door knocking and saying, 'My darling, my very own, my flawless dove, open the door for me.'" It may have been a while since some of us used those kind of words. But I want us to see here that this idea of opening the door symbolizes two people drawing close and sharing their hearts. For many women, husbands, for many wives, openness communicates love. And so our wives feel that we're open to them when we say, "Let's talk," and we ask her what she's feeling and ask for her opinions. When your face shows that you do want to talk. When you give her your full attention, no grunting responses while you're watching TV or reading the newspaper or answering emails. Yes, my toes are hurting. Number 3, understanding. We husbands love your wives with understanding. That's what 1 Peter 3:7 says. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. I thought it so interesting that in Dr. Egerich's book here, in this chapter on understanding, it was subtitled, "Don't Try to Fix Her, Just Listen." Don't try to fix her or fix her problem, just listen. I will never forget when a young lady asked to meet with me. Set up a time so she could come to the office and talk about some things. And I knew some about her situation. And so I was thinking and praying about what could I have to offer her that would help her. And so the time came when she came to the office and she sat down and just began to talk and talk and talk. And I was just waiting on a question like, "Do you have anything you would suggest for me?" But before that question came, by the way, it never came, she thanked me for listening and left. She didn't want someone to try to fix her problems. She just wanted to listen. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Sometimes, husbands, the greatest thing we can do to communicate love is to listen, just to seek to understand. Dr. Egerich says that when his wife comes to him with a problem, there's two questions that he asks. Number one, am I in trouble? Number two, do you need a solution or a listening ear? Do you need a solution or a listening ear? Folks, I think that's a good one to take home. Husbands, I think we need to ask, do you need a solution or a listening ear? She'll feel you're trying to understand when you listen and can even repeat back what she said. When you don't try to fix her problems unless she specifically asks for a solution. When we never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to us. When we don't interrupt her when she's trying to tell us how she feels. Number 4 is peacemaking. Husbands, love your wives with peacemaking. If there's a rift, a conflict, a sense of tension, we're not at peace in the home, and we can't really feel connected. And without this peace, she doesn't feel close. She doesn't feel you're open. She certainly doesn't think you understand. And so we need to be proactive in making peace when there's conflict in the home. And one of the greatest things we can do to make peace with our spouses, peace with other people, is to acknowledge when our part in the conflict and to apologize for it. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, James 5:16. So admit it when you're wrong and apologize by saying, "I'm sorry." Wives need to hear that. By the way, Dr. Egerich suggests she will meet you halfway most every time. But being willing to accept responsibility, to admit wrong, and to ask for forgiveness is a way of promoting peace. Loyalty is another way to communicate love. Husbands, love your wives with loyalty. Dr. Egerich gives this imagined conversation that I had to chuckle at. The wife asks, "How much do you love me, or do you love me? Will you love me when I'm old and gray? Will you love me if I end up being an invalid?" And the husband may be tempted to have a little fun with her. "What's the matter?" he asks. "Afraid I'll trade you in for a new model? Don't be silly. I plan to keep you around, at least for a while." And oh, that's a temptation to have a little humor there. But many, many times, our wives are not looking for humor. They're looking for reassurance. A much smarter and wiser answer would be, "Of course I love you, and we're going to get old and gray together." Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. One of the greatest examples of a loyal husband that I've read about is a man by the name of Robertson McQuilkin. He served as president of Columbia Bible College and Seminary for 22 years and resigned because his wife had developed Alzheimer's. And many were, questioning his judgment, but he said it really wasn't a difficult decision after all. The disease had progressed to the point where his wife simply couldn't stand to have him gone, even for a few hours. And when he did leave the home, she would actually think he was lost and would go and search for him when he was just leaving for work. He made this statement: "The decision was made, in a way, 42 years ago, when I promised to care for Muriel in sickness and in health till death do us part." And what he was communicating was loyalty. He wrote a book entitled "A Promise Kept." And it's in keeping those promises, communicating loyalty, that shouts love to our wives. And our wives are assured of our loyalty when we speak highly of them in front of others, when we are involved in things that are important to them, when we make her in our marriage a priority, when we include her in social gatherings when others may leave their spouses at home, and when we keep our commitments, when we are loyal. And finally, one more. Husbands, love your wives with esteem. The first letters of these words spell couple, C-O-U-P-L-E. The final letter is esteem. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Ephesians 5:28 says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And the way we demonstrate our love to our wives is to esteem them, to honor them. In fact, to treasure them. And one of the greatest ways I believe we can do that for our wives is to let them know how much we appreciate all that they do. Perhaps you remember hearing the story about the husband who came home from work to find bikes and scooters blocking the driveway. And when he went into the house was in shambles, dirty dishes stacked in the sink, dirty laundry piled up, clothing scattered everywhere, his two preschool children drawing on the walls. Where's his wife? He's frantic as he looks for her, and he finds her in the bedroom, on the bed, asleep. And he woke her up and he asked, honey, the place is a disaster. The kids are running wild. What's going on? And she looks at him with a very tired smile and she asks, well, you know how you always come home and you ask me what I did all day? Yeah, was the response. Well, today I didn't do it. Today I didn't do it. Husbands, our wives need to know how much we appreciate all that they do. But not only for what they do, but for who they are. I love this one. A woman said to her husband, I got off the phone with my sister. She's incredible. She tells me that she helped her husband build a back porch on their house this summer. She also made a rocking chair, and she's in an exotic foods cooking class. She's always doing something, making something. I feel so inadequate when I talk with her. What do I make? And her husband turned to her and said, you make me happy. I wish I would have said that. Folks, maybe we need to remember to say that. Not only for what they do, but for who they are. Our wives will feel esteemed when we speak highly of them and refuse to speak negatively of them in the presence of others. When we show common courtesies like opening the door for her, we're giving honor. When we praise her for what she does and for who she is, we are esteeming them and declaring our love. Proverbs 31 says, her children rise up, speaking of the worthy woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Husbands, we need to communicate that same type of praise to our wives. In so doing, we esteem them, we honor them. We're demonstrating just how much they mean to us. Ladies, you can tell me if we got it right or not. Gentlemen, we've got a lot to practice. And again, the Bible declares to us principles for living in every aspect of our lives, even in our marriages, even as a child, even as parents, because the family is God's idea. And if he instituted the family, he knows what's best and he knows how to make it function effectively. And so we get it right when we follow his plan in our homes, but also in our individual lives. Are you following his plan in your life tonight? It may be that as we examine our lives, we see we're not living in conformity to his will. There's some changes that we need to make. Perhaps some of us never have obeyed the gospel, and we need to do so tonight. I hope and pray that you'll do that even tonight. It may be that we recognize we haven't been the type of husband that we need to be. Perhaps we need to commit even privately to making those changes tonight. That we're going to love our wives and not be bitter towards them. Or maybe some other area, some other aspect of our lives where we need to make those changes. There may be some that want the prayers of our church family to help you act on those changes. If that be the case, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we hope you'll come right now as we stand and sing.